All right, I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of something that Nick said in his first message. And he said it in passing, and I'm not sure if a lot of you caught it. So Nick was giving us his testimony, and it was pretty hard to hear some of those things, right? And obviously it had a good ending, but it was just like, man, you know, when you get older and you have kids and stuff, you'll kind of understand the difficulty behind some of those things, and the pain that he would have had to gone through, and the pain for his wife, and the pain for everybody involved, and just how thankful you would have been for God to redeem all those things. But he said something weird. I'm not sure if everybody caught it. He said it was the best thing that ever happened to him. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that.
Artist, the best.
Artist, but the best. What? Right? That doesn't make any sense. No, you will not find anybody in the world outside of Christianity who would say that something like that was the best thing that's ever happened. I was talking with a guy at our church probably in like November, and we were working outside, and he told me that the two best things that's ever happened to him in his entire life, as far as his relationship with God, was his divorce and getting cancer. What is the deal with that? Why in the world would we say that the most painful things in life are the most beneficial things for our walk with Christ? Why do we say that? This is not just these two. It's not just anomalies for these two guys. I've heard stories like this all the time, and I'm sure you guys probably can think of some as well. Maybe you can even think into your own life where you've gone through some difficulties, and you see God bringing significant growth in your walk with Christ through those difficulties. How does that work? Well, look at Romans 5. You guys get your Bibles or your phones. Open up to Romans 5. Let's look at this text for a second. Really quick. There's a lot in here. We're not going to look at really any of it that much. I just want to give you the flow of it for a second. So Paul says, Romans 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, just we're going to read them. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. All right, so the first two verses, Paul is unpacking and listing the benefits of what we have received by means of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Okay? What he's doing. He's saying, hey, because Jesus died for you, these are the things you have. Alright? So the first thing is, you've been justified, so you have the righteousness of God. Second thing is, you have peace with God, which is very significant given our relationship with God before Christ. Verse 2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand. And what he's saying is that the grace that God saved you with is also the grace he gives you to live your life every single day. That's what he's saying. So, and not only that, but we hope. So our future is secure. So your past, present, future, Paul is saying, it's all taken care of in Christ. All of that we can get on board with. Right? I'm cool with that. Peace with God, grace in which we stand, my future is secured in Christ, I'm on board. Then Paul throws the curveball of curveballs in verse 3. Okay? That's what he says. And not only that, I want you to imagine that you're like receiving Christmas gifts, and you're opening them, and you're like, oh, that's cool. I like that. Oh, that's cool. I like that. Oh, that's awesome. And then you open, like, a package of underwear, and you're like, Or you open like a Tool or something. Although I guess some guys like it. And you're like, wait, what is this? This does not fit in the context. This is kind of what happens in this verse. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So, suffering, we rejoice in our sufferings. Paul was a dude who was well acquainted with suffering. And what I mean by well acquainted with suffering is he had some significant bad stuff happen to him in his life, including being killed for Christ. He rejoices in the hope of sufferings. Why? Why would we rejoice in our sufferings? Well, there's something about suffering that it teaches us about God in a way that nothing else can.
Good.
Okay. Let me give you a quote. This is from C.S. Lewis. He's talking about pain. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Okay? Why does it rouse? What about pain? Is it what is it about pain that it teaches us so much about our relationship with God? Well, pain teaches us more than anything in this world of our complete dependence on God. Pain teaches us more than anything in this world of our complete dependence upon God. And what is so important about being completely dependent upon God? Well, it's called the gospel. Okay? It's called the center of the Christian faith. It's called the reason we are all sitting here. It's called the reason your leaders are here. The reason your leaders devote so much time to the ministry of the youth in your church, the reason they love you so much and they want to see you have joy the way that Nick was talking to us about, is because they know that you cannot live this life under your own power, because they've tried that and it has not worked out for them. They know that the only way to live this life in a joyful manner, in a way that's going to fulfill you, is if you decide that you cannot trust yourself, that you cannot live according to your own power, and that you must completely depend upon God. That you are helpless, but He is completely able to help you. And there is nothing in this world that teaches you that lesson more than pain. Because you feel helpless in pain. How many of you have ever broken a bone before? You're laying on the ground in total agony, and there's nothing you can do, right? You're calling for, you can't even get up and walk out. You're calling for help. Come help me, come help me, come help me. And then the list goes on and on with pain. So when pain comes into your life, it is a reminder to call out to God for help, which is a reminder of what the gospel is in its essence. So that is why Paul, as weird as it is, rejoices in his sufferings. James mentions this idea in chapter 1, and he even goes as far as to say that through suffering we are being made perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. That's how valuable the reminder is that suffering brings to our doorstep. So let me ask you a question. I know God has probably brought pain into your life in one way or another. It's just what it means to be human at some point, that we are having a hard time at some point in life. Are you viewing it correctly? Or are you viewing it as if God is against you? when really what he's trying to do is he's trying to get you to depend upon him, which is the very best thing that you could be doing. So I hope that your pain is a reminder of the gospel and of how desperately we need God in our lives. Let me pray, and I'll turn it back over to you.